We are up to the Pasuk of Hallelu Shemei HaShemayim. So Shemei HaShemayim refers, the Rishonim say, either there's seven Shemayims and refers to the ones on top of the Shemesh and the Yireach that we've spoken about previously. Or others say it's the vast space on top of all the seven Shemayims. On top of all of them, that's what Shemei HaShemayim is a vast space. Avigdor Miller explains that the reason that it's such a vast space in the universe, why is it so big and so vast, so great? It's to show the vastness of Hashem, to show how great and large and never-ending Hashem is, that He created such a vast universe that we can't comprehend. To us, it seems like it doesn't end. Kolshken v'kolshken, the manik, habiro, the berika lo'olamim, has to be so much greater, more powerful, and bigger. This past Pesach, and Achron Shel Pesach, I went together with Yitzi Wurzberger and his son Shmuel to Merakah Cholel Rish Kolel Zatzal, by the time of Neil Sachag. And when we were there, he told us a vart, which was the last vart that I was zeichet to hear from him, maybe the last one that he was zeichet to say over in a formal setting. He asked, why is it that the world has to be so big, so great? Why does there have to be so many planets and galaxies? What's wrong with just having the planet of Earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars that we need to be mishamish us, and nothing else? So he explained this based on a famous word from Ruchani Kanievsky that he says that we daven, Mali Adina Bechasecho, Mala Semenu Sova. Why do we daven for a full bracha, such a big, great amount? Would it be more proper to ask for a little bit? So he explained that there was a wealthy Yid that lived in a penthouse suite. The next it was his suite was another suite that had its own elevator to go up, and it was always guarded, and he never saw anybody going in and out. It very seldomly was anybody that had any traffic to this elevator. But he noticed that it was being watched and guarded. One day he asked the person that's standing by the bottom of the elevator, you know, I'm the neighbor of this apartment upstairs. It's only the two of us up there. I'm curious who my neighbor is. So they told him that your neighbor is the mother of the king of Morocco. So he said, oh, my neighbor is the mother of the king of Morocco. Would I be able to see her? She's my neighbor. And they tell him that she very rarely goes out and no one really comes to visit her, because she's the mother of the king, and everything that's done with her has to be done with Derech Kavod. So she rarely goes out, and not too many visitors for her. But this is where she lives. And her son, the king, comes to visit her every once in a while in this apartment. And that's why it's guarded so much, and that's why you never see traffic there. So over time, he asks if we'll be able to visit the king as well when he comes next. So comes the day that he gets the permission from the Moroccan government to visit the king's mother when the king's there. And he goes with his son the next time the king was there, his 12-year-old son. As they were speaking in the middle of the conversation, he mentioned that this 12-year-old boy, his bar mitzvah will be soon. And the king said that he wants to give a present, and they told him that they were happy enough to see the king. It was enough of an honor for them, enough of a privilege for them. They don't need any presents. But the king said he'll send the present anyways. The next day, they get an envelope from the king, courtesy of the Moroccan government, from the king, $50,000 bar mitzvah present. So the father of the boy was amazed, and he sent a message back to the king. King, you know, for a bar mitzvah present, people give $100. Wealthy people, $500. If somebody's close to the family, maybe $1,000. But to give $50,000 to a 13-year-old boy, that's an unheard of amount. No one gives such a large amount of money to a 13-year-old boy. It's not healthy for the child to get so much money. He doesn't need so much money. Why is the king giving him such a large present? He'll be happy with a much smaller present. So the answer he received from the royal court was, they don't understand. There's laws that govern the king of Morocco, how he has to act, and what he has to do, because he's presenting the country of Morocco, and everything he does has to reflect positively on the country of Morocco. Therefore, one of their laws is that the king cannot give a present less than $50,000. To give too small of a present looks cheap on the royal family of Morocco, looks cheap on the country of Morocco, and therefore any present the king gives, if he gives a present, the minimum it could be is $50,000. So Senator Khanikowski, that's the pshat that we ask for a bracha from Hashem, that should we a bracha be fitting for Hashem to give us, hatavet be fitting for Hashem to give us, at the Baruch Olam, the Melech Malchei Hamlochim, it should be a present befitting of being given from the Baruch Olam. That's why we ask for big presents, because anything smaller than that is kaviyachol ein lefichvoide, just as like ein lefichvoide of the king of Morocco. The Shkolos Hatzal said, that's the same thing with the Bria of the universe. That Kodesh Baruch Hu created a vast universe, such a magnificent, large universe that we can't even fathom to understand how much is in it. It's way beyond our comprehension. The reason for this is if we'd be able to comprehend, understand, and fully appreciate the universe, it will be a chsar and kaviyachol what Hashem created. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great, He had to create a creation that's so great. Because anything less than that is not befitting for Hashem to create. And that's why there's such a great world with such a great Shema HaShemayim. Then we say the Hamayim Asher Me'al HaShemayim. Mayim, the water that's on top of the Shemayim. Some learn that this is referring to the water in the clouds that's above the bottom Shemayim, the water that's going to come into rain. Others learn that this is the water on top of all the Shemayims. And Shimon Schwab explains this to be plasma, but some say it's water mamish. And Shlomo Jermazia explains that what's the purpose of this water of Me'al HaShemayim? If it's not the water of the clouds, it's not the water that we get for rain. What's the purpose of this water? Why is it here? He says that this is, from what the Navi tells us, Hashem's going to throw on us, sprinkle on us, Torah waters and be betar us from our averus. This water is set aside for that purpose, to be betar us. This is the mikveh mayim. We say Yahalu Hashem Hashem. They should praise the name of Hashem. And the Farshim explain, they praise it every day, and as we praise, we cause them to praise more the Shem Hashem. Because we said over the Tavka of the Bria is to bring people to be makir kutcha b'yichu. So anechem l'mam arubim mi bar ha'sela. And as they're mekayim the Tavka, they themselves sing shiro. Ki hu tziva v'nivro. And why do they say Shira to Hashem? And one of the reasons is Ki Hu Tziva, because Hashem commanded in Evro that they were created through Dibur itself. So the Mepharshim explained, not only do we say Shira that Hashem, they say Shira that Hashem created them, but they say Shira the way that Hashem created them. That Hashem created them without a Nasiya, but just by speaking. But thus the Tziva in Evro was enough to create them. Barley points out that they realized, the Rekech says, that Hashem kutziva v'nevrov le'adei malach le'adei shliach, that since, as we said from the Rambam, their balei das v'seichel, they realize and appreciate how lucky it is that they were created directly through Hashem and not through a malach or a shliach. V'yamidem, Hashem made them stand. So the Hamakneh says, and his Akdamo, That the same way we understand that it's a power from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a gewaltige chesed when he commanded Hashem to create the universe, to create the sun, the moon, and the stars, so too we have to realize that every second they're standing is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no guarantees because it was around the last second, it will be around the next second. But every second needs a constant tava from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a constant favor for the universe, from the, it's telling the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they're still standing. Lo'ad le'olam, forever and ever. So seemingly it's repetitive, these two words. Lo'ad le'olam. What does it mean? And furthermore, we continue, Choiknosan v'lo'yavar, Hashem made it as a rule that will not change. It won't pass over. It will always stay in the rule the way they are. So the Yavitz explains this to mean, based on a Medrash Rabo in Parshas Noach, that the Pasuk says, after the Mabul, Oid kol yimei ha'aretz, zer v'kotzer v'kor v'chom, v'kayetz v'chor v'yem v'layla lo yishboisu. The Medrash on that Pasuk says that we have the different seasons of Hashem, we have the day and the night, we have the lunar year, the solar year. There's an avtocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they will stay. There will always be winter, there will always be spring, there will always be summer, there will always be fall. There will always be a four seasons. The amount of harshness that they are, that could change. Maybe some years will be harsher winter, some years will be milder winters. The reverse in the summer. But that's because that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it to be. But Hashem set the world that the seasons, the day and the night, they are the way they are, and it's impossible for man to ruin them. It's impossible for man to uproot the seasons of winter, fall, spring, and summer. It's a myth to believe otherwise, says the Medrash. But the Medrash says over there that this, that the world is like this, is only till the day that Hashem wants. Because Kedua, there's going to be a day, there's going to be a day that the world comes to an end. There'll be no more Shemesh and Yireach. There'll be no more Kechavim. There'll be no more Aretz. But it'll be V'nizgav Hashem levad v'yemahu. As the Medrash over there says, there'll be a day that the world won't be around anymore. So says the Yavitz and the Mefarshim that that's what the Pasuk means over there. V'yemidim lo'ad. Hashem made the Shemesh and the Yireach durable. They're not made of material that disintegrates. It's made of durable material that can last forever. Because Mefarshim explained, it's not made from the Arbi Yisoidus of Eish, Mayim, Ruach and Ofer that we'll get to soon. That those things are not durable to last forever and they can eventually disintegrate. But the Shemesh Direch, the Kechavim, the Balidas Vesechel, they're way, they're created in a form that they'll never get ruined on their own. They're durable to last forever. But they're only going to last the oilam, says the Yavitz. Kol yimei oilam, as long as the world was decreed to last, as long as it was decreed that these things should last for, as long as it was decreed that the planet of Earth, the world as we know it, should last, that's how long the Shemesh Yirech and the Kechavim will last. So v'yamidim lo'ad, Hashem made them, that they're able to stand, they're durable to last forever. How long will they last? La'olam, all the days of the world. This is the way the Yavetz explains this pasuk. The Sasemes has a different mahalich. Not Shute Shal Mikra, but the Sasemes explains Vayamidem Lo'ad La'olam, that the letters of La'ad could also be read as La'id, because the world in itself is a testimony that there's a Baruch Olam. It's not possible for a person to create the world. Avraham Avinu said, "Yesh Manig LeBirazu." There's other LeBirazu. There's some creator. That's somebody constantly running this world, this palace, the world that we know has to be run by somebody. So, by looking into the Bria properly, it's not possible for a person not to realize that there's somebody that created the world, an all-powerful being, who created the entire universe. And that's what the Pasuk is alluding to with this extra word of La'ad, to tell you that it's an Eidos La'olam. Forever and ever, it's a testimony that Hashem created the world. Chokvalasan v'layavar, and Hashem made it with its rules that they shouldn't go over each part of the Bria how it is. Now the Pasukim continue, Ha'alu es Hashem in Aretz. They should be praise Hashem from the ground. Taninim refers to the big fish in Bereishis. The Chazal tells us it refers to the Yasan of the Chol Tohoimis, and the depths is the Tohoimis of Mayim. And the next pasuk we say, Eish, Uvarot, fire, and water, and hail, Shelek, snow, the Kitar. Usually means smoke. Over here, the Rishonim, we were talking about something that's natural. So the Rishonim say it means like a vapor, like a mist, a fog, a smoke-like appearance. Ruach Sahara, a stormy wind. Oh, he said, Devar, that does the words of Hashem. Hahar v'chok voice. The trees and all the hills. So the Mefarshim point out that we say over here, there's four elements of the world. There's water, fire, wind, and earth. And that's what we say in these psukim, to Hermes, Shelag and Bard is Mayim, the water, Eish is the fire, Ruach Sar is the Ruach, the wind, Harvachog voice is the earth. These are the four elements of the earth. Now to explain these psukim, the Chara, one can ask, we said in the beginning, Halu min Hashemayim, Halu Shemesh v'Yirech, that the Shemesh and Yirech are all powerful creations that have das more than people, and therefore they're able to be Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean over here? Halu as Hashem in Haaretz, Taninim v'chol Tohoimis, Eish v'Ar Shel v'Kitar, because none of these things have das, none of these things are able to be Mehal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one chat is, it means the Malachim, the Sarim of everything, because as we know, Eko Esev, so there's a malachim in charge of all parts of it. There's a malachim in charge of the yam. There's a malachim in charge of Eish. So some say that that's what it's referring to. The Rambam says, a different chapter, Rambam Paragimel, of Yisayin Yatayro, Halach Yudan Ya'af, the Rambam says, Bara Akel Matal Megagal Yerech, underneath the moon, Goylam Echad She'ine, Goylam Hagagalim. Ubar Arba Tsuris the Gaelim is that Hashem made four different parts, Tsuris, in this Gaelim. Tsura Rishayna Tsuris Eish, the first one is the fire, Tsuris Shnia Tsuris HaRuach is the wind, Tsuris Shlish is Tsuris HaMayim, the third one is the water, Tsuris Revias is Tsuris HaAretz is the land, is the earth. These are the four elements that we spoke about. Underneath the sky is these four elements. Now the Rambam says in Halacha Yud Aleph, Arba Gufos Eilu, these four elements, Einim Balei Nefesh, they have no soul, Einim Yoidim, V'loi Makirim, El Kegufa Meisim, they don't understand, they don't comprehend it, and they don't know anything, but they're like dead bodies. V'yish Cholechav Echman, each of them have, Minuk She'ina Yedua, She'ina Yedo, V'loi Masigo, V'ein Yochel Shnoisai. They have a minig that they don't even understand, and they can't change. Now, so the Rambam asks, if that's the case, how do you understand these psukim that we have? Is that Shalom David? And this is that David HaMelech said, Hallelujah Hashem in the Aretz. They'll praise Hashem from the ground. Taninim, V'chol Tohoimos. So we see Tohoim, water is being Meshabech. Eish, is fire is being Meshabech. Inyan HaDvarim Halalu. Halu B'nei Adam Yigvuroisov Shatiru. People should be Mehal Hashem from the Gvuris that they see. Be'eshu Barad U'Beshar Bruyim Shatiru L'matam Nakiya. People should be Mahal Hashem from all the bruin that they see underneath the Rekia. Shagvuras and Tamani Keres, the Katan and the Gadol. Because the Gvur of these things is Nikr to the Katan and to the Gadol. So the Rambam says that this is what we say, Halumin Aretz means that people on the ground should be Mahal HaKadosh Baruch Hu for these Gvuras that he does. Now the Mefarshim explained, the Rishayim say the reason we put Mayim and Eish next to each other is because Mayim and Eish together created the Shemayim. Shemayim is a mixture of Eish and Mayim. Now the first one that we say is Eish. The Machlokes Rishayim, where Eish is, the Ramban al Torah says that the Choshech HaPnei HaTohoim that says in Ma'aseh Bereishis is the Eish HaYusoidi, which is in the depths of the world. The Rambam that we just read seems to say that the Eish is right underneath the Yerech, right underneath the moon. So the Yaivitz and from Sefer brings it, says that this pasuk seems to say that the Eish is like the Ramban in the depths of the earth. The Yaivitz says that scientifically there's a great discussion about it. And this pasuk proves, even though the Rambam holds like them, but this pasuk proves that it's underneath the ground. And the Yaivitz says the proof to that is if you start digging in the ground, as you get deeper and deeper, it's very hot, and that can't come from the sun, because the heat of the sun only gets to the surface level, and it wouldn't get hotter and hotter. I heard from Dr. Fleischman that he was recently in Iceland, and there's a place there that they're digging and down to get energy, and they dug quite deep. And the temperature there is 500 degrees. So the Yaivitz says all this is a proof that Eish is below the ground. And that's why the pasuk puts it together with the things that are below the ground. Eish Yavar Shalav Kitar. Now to answer the Rambam, you could say it one of two ways. The first way is, based on what the Rambam said, just to add a little more, that the Rambam said that these the four things were able to be Meshabeach Hashem. B'nei Adam are able to be Meshabeach Hashem. Now what does it mean, L'chayru, we could be Meshabeach Hashem also, V'shemesh Yirech K'chavim. Why is it that we attribute these things to B'nei Adam to be Meshabeach for? Now simply for one could say because they can't be Meshabeach for themselves. But it could be there's a deeper meaning, and I think that's Nichol, the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam says, Inin Adram Alol B'nei Adam B'Gvuraisav Shatiru B'Eish U'Bar B'Shabruim Shatiru L'Matam Anarkiya Shagvurasam Tamen Nikaris L'Kadr L'Gadol. The Gvura of these elements is always Nikar to everybody in the world. A man, human being, at least most of them, can't appreciate fully, can't comprehend fully, can't articulate because he doesn't appreciate, he doesn't know the value. The lunar, the solar system, the sun, the moon, the stars, they're so great, they're so powerful, that we don't properly appreciate and we can't properly be mahalak of Ishbarakutit api roiv. But shaking these elements that we see on the ground, these are things that people see in their daily lives. They're used in their daily lives. They come into contact with in their daily lives. And they can appreciate it for what it is. And therefore the cult of our Godel is able to see their Gvura Tam and they're able to be Mahal HaKadosh Baruch Hu for them. And that's what we say, Dafka, on these things that they're Mahal HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, and not the Shemesh V'Yirech. Another chat could be that there's a Gemara in Tainus. I'm sorry, there's a Gemara in Chagiga, that if you base on the base, that the Gemara in Chagiga says, was talking about the different Rekiyim. So the Gemara says that the Oitut of Shalag and Geshem are in the Shemayim. So the Gemara asks, how do Mirakias now you think that the Geshem and the Shalig, the Oitzit Shalig, the Oitzit Barit, are in the Shemayim and Mechayim? How do Mirakias now in the ground, the Ksiv, Halu at Hashem and Arts, Tanina Mechal Tahoimis, Eishu Varit, Shalva, Kita Ruach, Saras, and Dvari? So you see they're in the ground, Amri Huda Merav, David Bikash Aleim Rachman, Vridim Laharitz, David Bavakash Rachman, he took it to the ground, Amri Fadi Vibrani Shalom, Kalkovit Rasha, Atal, Gurkha, Megarka Ra. So Rashi in the Navi explains, Rashi in the Gemara, Tanis in the Gemara first explains that it's talking about the ancient bard and Shalig of Peronius, that's what David HaMelech was murdered to the ground, because David HaMelech said it's not befitting that they should be next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mefarshim add that maybe it's a Tavu for Klai Yisrael as well, based on the Yishalmi and Tanis, that the Yishalmi says, Alpha Chem Hashem threw it far away from him, so it shouldn't be mocking the Peronius. So too this maybe shouldn't be mocking the Peronius, Hashem moved it far further away from him. But based on this, there could be two yeshuvim to the Rambam. First of all, the Rambam could be referring to the Bria of the world the way it was originally. And then the H was the Shelig and Bard with Hakan Shemayim right under the Yareach, right under the moon. But more than that, Tosfos and Chagiga Yebezim and Beis, Divrei Ma'aseh David in the second Tarot says, V'yishloim adloi harid rakim uchanim leperanius, Hashem only took down the Shelig, the Barad, and the Eish also goes there because it was the Sha'arm of it, as it says in Chazal. Only the ones that are Mukhin the Peronius Hashem took down. And Meravim Esaharitz, the rain, the water that feeds the ground, that waters the ground, Nishru Lamala, that stayed up in Shemayim. So too with Eish, it could be the similar type of concept, that there's some Eish that remained in Shemayim. Just the Eish of Peronius got taken down to the depths of the world. And that's why the Eish is together with the other things that got brought down to the depths of the world, with the Rambam, that got brought down to Aretz. The Baruch Shalom are considered in the Aretz because the clouds get filled up from the water, they absorb the water of the ground, and for that the rain, the snow, and the hail comes. We say, borrowed the hail, shalik, snow, the kitar, it's the fog, the mist, ruach, the stormy winds, that do the word of Hashem. So the reason we say the stormy winds is because we're talking about things in Peronius and this pasuk, as we said, and that's why we say also devaroi, that they do oisah devaroi, that they do the word of Hashem. The Chofetz Chaim explains this to mean that when people think that a big rainstorm, a hailstorm comes, they think it's mikra, it's the way the world is running. It happened to be that there was a storm today, and that this is what happens. But don't read anything much into it. The Chofetz Chaim says, no, all these things come from the Dvar Hashem. We have to realize constantly, whenever there's a rainstorm, a hailstorm, a hurricane, a tornado, the Ruach Sahara, we have to remember that these are punishments from Hashem. That's why I refer to the Ruach Sahara, because this is the one that's the punishment from Hashem, together with the Asian Barg and Chalag of punishment that we're talking about in this Pasuk. So it's the hurricane and the thunderstorm that are the punishments, the strong winds, the Ruach Sheinu Mitzui, that's the punishments. And we have to remember that all these things are not natural occurrences that we should just ignore and blame on Teva. But we have to realize it's a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either to punish the Rishayim, or the Kimas Sheyar Mipanov, Hashem's doing it since they'll fear the people. The people should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Hashak Mutz Shebelev, to make people realize that there's a Barakal Olamim, the powerful Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that they have to be Yar Milfanov, and that's why Hashem makes these storms as well, in order that people should fear Him, and not that the Shechas V'Shalom say that it's Mikra, but people have to realize that it's a direct message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.